week to give you, from the Bible perspective, prophecies and how they were fulfilled, and to show you that we can trust the Bible. Yep? 100% we can trust the Bible. So moving forward, when we look at some of these things now, you're coming from a position of, all right, the Bible has already proved itself to be trustworthy, and everything that it said happened, and so what we're going to look at is going to happen, right? There's no doubt about it. There's not a case of if, maybe, what if. So we're going to quickly review our board, and if you could put it up on the screens, I'd appreciate it. So starting on the left-hand side, we see the cross of the Lord Jesus, and from the beginning, from Adam to the cross, is 4,000 years, all right, according to Scripture. And then there's a period of 2,000 years, which we refer to as the church age. That is the time in which we're living right now. It's the time, it's going to be about, this is the time where the Gentiles, anybody who's not a Jew is a Gentile, where the Holy Spirit is dealing with us, the Western world and the rest of the world, other than the Jews, for salvation, because the Jews rejected their Messiah. And the Bible says, because they rejected the Messiah, we are now being given an opportunity to be grafted into the fig tree. Amen. All right? So you understand this. It's a great honor and a privilege that God would invite us to be part of the church of Jesus Christ. There's many scriptures I can show you that even the apostles didn't believe that the Gentiles could be saved for at least 10 years after the day of Pentecost. They still wouldn't even talk to the Gentiles about Jesus. Peter had to have a vision before they would do that. Now, we know that this is a two-year period because we read last week from the book of Hosea, chapter 6 and verse 1, it said, the Jews were torn to pieces for 2 days, but the third day they were restored. And it says that God came to them, or Jesus appeared to them at that time. So this is what happens. The 2,000 years is the 2 days. Then here is when Jesus returns, called the second coming. He comes at the end of the Great Tribulation. Then this is where the Jews are restored, and there is the third day, all right? The third day, or the seventh day here. So the first 2 days in which the Jews are torn apart is the time in which we're living. The great Holocaust, being pressed out of their nation, and so on and so forth. That comes to an end as God brings the Jews back to Israel. The Bible prophesies, gives us the prophecy that is a mark of the end time, is when the Jews start to return to their homeland. Remember, 1948, up until 1948, they didn't even have a homeland. They didn't even have a homeland, okay? Became a nation in 1948. So the Jews couldn't return. They didn't have a place to go to. So that marks the beginning of something very, very important. Understood? All right. And now we all know that the Jews are returning back to Jerusalem. Then we have, back to Israel. Then we have a seven-year period known as the tribulation period. The first 42 months is a period where there is going to be a pseudo-peace and prosperity. And I will talk to you next week about how that happens and why that happens. But during that time is when the persecution of the Christians really, 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 really begin to get heavy, all right? This is the time where Christians will have their heads cut off and so on. The scriptures references Revelation 20 and verse 4. And if you go to our website, you'll see this is on the website, and you can take those scriptures down and study it yourself, including Matthew 24, which we'll look at today. It's a 42-month period. The Antichrist comes to power during that time. Right in the middle of this period is when the Antichrist declares himself to be God. And he goes into the Jerusalem temple, all right, and sets himself up an image and says to the Jews they must worship him. And that's when the Jews suddenly say, wait a minute, you can't be the Messiah. And that's when the persecution turns onto the Jews. That's where the Antichrist turns his persecution onto the Jews. The latter 42 months, the latter 3.5 years is actually referred to as the Great Tribulation. The first 42 months is called the Tribulation. The latter 42 months is called the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is not the Antichrist causing the tribulation in the earth. You need to understand it. It is God judging the Antichrist system and all those on the earth who have received the mark of the beast, the 666, either in their forehead or in their right hand. So the Bible's clear about what is taking place. So don't get confused. This is not Antichrist ruling. This is actually God's judgment on the earth. And then at the end of this period, this is when Jesus comes, referred to as the second coming of Jesus. And let me just explain something. I know a lot of people get confused. The first coming of Jesus, when he came as a babe in Bethlehem, died on the cross. That was the first coming. Understand that? All right. The second coming is when he arrives on the Mount of Olives here. This is the second coming. The rapture, which takes place here, is not referred to as a coming of the Lord Jesus. It is not. And there's a massive difference because Jesus doesn't land on the earth. He's in the air. We meet him in the air. As we'll see today, we actually meet him in the air. So it's not a coming. We refer to that as an advent. So the second advent is what we refer to this as. And that's part of the reason why so many people are confused about the second coming and the rapture. And they think, well, the rapture's not even in the Bible. We'll show you today. And then the 7 years is also referred to as Daniel's 70th week. And I'm sure you've all heard about Daniel's 69 weeks and 70 weeks. Time permitting and the congregation be willing, I will show you the exact number of days to the crucifixion prophesied in the Bible. The exact number of days. See if you're interested. You may not be, you think. He's been, so what does it matter? Well, it does matter, eventually. All right, so we've got an idea. Up here during the seven-year period, the marriage feast of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb, this takes place up here during the seven-year period. This is where Jesus marries his bride. Okay, marries his bride. The mansions that he's making are for his bride. Stay with me now. Don't get mad at me. It's not for the church. It's for the bride. And you only use them for 7 years. Because when he comes back here, he stays on earth. And so does everybody else. So then they can rent them out for 1,000 years. Hello. And how many know that at the end of the 1,000 years, there's a war and the whole earth is burnt up by fire and the heavens are destroyed and God makes a new heaven and a new earth. So all those mansions get remodeled. You get it? The mansions are not for this period. I've said too much. Not part of today's teaching at all. Wipe that. Wipe it. Okay. A quick recap. One scripture. What's it going to look like at the end of the time? What's it going to look like? The scripture describes the condition of people's hearts at the end of the time, where we're living right now, at the end times. And this is what the Apostle Paul wrote to his son in the Lord Timothy, and he said, know this, that in the last days, everybody say the last days. We absolutely proved last week we're in the last days. We'll continue with that thought that we're in the last days, and the Holy Spirit tells Timothy through the Apostle Paul, perilous times will come in the last days. Why are there going to be perilous times? Because men will be lovers of themselves, taking selfies, lovers of money. Come on. Lovers of money. Really? Lovers of money. Unloving, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. I just want to say something here quickly. I want to give you a report done by the Gutmacher. I've been practicing all week how to say it. That institute. Gutmacher. I think it could be German. German? Now that I have your attention. They reported there were 59 million 115,995 abortions in America from 73 to 2014. That's a period of 41 years. So that means more than a million abortions a year. And they projected for the next 3 years, that was 14, 15, and 16, that there'd be 926,990 per year. What does that say? Without self-control, brutal, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, unloving. Doesn't that say that? Okay? So, now, of course, this came into being because of Roe versus Wade. So what happened legally in America was that it became legal. It was legalized to be immoral and to commit murder. And because it became legal, people said it's okay. Because the government decided it was legal to commit murder, the people said, okay. So the USA, God bless our nation, is no longer ruled by biblical principles, but by the unsanctified conscience of an unsaved democratic culture. So the majority control the culture. So a demonically inspired majority legally enforce deviance from biblical standards, and the abnormal becomes normal by law. And Jerry Brown, our governor, signed into law last week that the birth certificate of children have three choices. And the third choice is to be determined. And doctors may not say whether they're male or female. That's the law where we live. Why is it that abortions have dropped below 1 million a year? Well, perhaps, just perhaps, it's because the women who would have been having abortions were themselves aborted. So people, we are currently in a transition period. You need to be aware of that. What we're seeing happening, and it's like the frog in the water. The water's getting hotter, but the frog's not jumping out. What we're seeing happening, what we see taking place right now, is the things that will be prevalent during the Great Tribulation. But we're seeing it now. See, very few things in the Bible or in our world happen overnight. There is a process of time. There's a process where we get used to it. It's the frog in the water where we become comfortable with once what was uncomfortable. And we begin to accept it as the norm. So what we're being introduced to is the atrocities that will occur during the tribulation period. Right here. I'm talking about the first 42 months. And they're becoming commonplace now here. So you see, what happens is the process will initially stun and repulse everyone. Initially, causing worldwide outcry. But eventually, we'll become numb. Our senses will become dulled into a state of acceptance. And authorities will calm the people by claiming that the blood-curdling murders are only the work of a few radical extremists, and there's nothing to worry about. They will ask everybody, just carry on as normal. Live life as usual. They will say things like, you know what, the best defense against these atrocities is for us to live like they didn't happen. Just carry on. We were told to go out and shop after 9/11. Make yourself happy. Listen, I love President Bush, but he said that. He said, just let's go on with life. President Obama said the same thing in the year 2006 when 49 people were killed in Orlando nightclub shooting. He said, the best revenge we've got is to not let them intimidate our lifestyle. I watched on Friday night Vegas Strong because I love country music. And the best country music bands in the world showed up in Vegas for a 30,000 people Western party. And people were drinking it up and having a great old party. And 2 weeks prior, hundreds of people were injured and killed. And the way we get over it is we have a drunken party and we act like nothing happened, so we feel better about those who died. That is what's going to happen. Mark my words. When I get next week to talk to this about this, I'm going to show you that culture and how it's going to affect those left behind. Jesus said this in Luke 21, 28. When these things begin to take place, everybody say begin. Stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Well, some of you might say, but I am redeemed. Well, how could that? What are you talking about? Let me explain something here. This redemption is not talking about your spirit man. It's talking about your body. A lot of people don't know this. When you get born again, your spirit man is redeemed. You are then responsible to renew your mind. The saving of the soul is the renewing of the mind by the word of God. The third part of you, which is the body, the temple that you live in, is not redeemed. That's why you need the healing power of Jesus' name, and by his stripes you're healed. That's what's needed for that body. But when the resurrection occurs and we receive glorified bodies, when our bodies are redeemed, we will no longer need the name of Jesus to heal us or the stripes of Jesus, because we'll have immortal bodies that will not decay. He is talking about the redemption of your body. He's not talking about the redemption of your spirit man. Okay? The Apostle Peter said this when he prophesied about the end times. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 3, he said, first of all, you must understand that in the last days. Everybody say the last days. The Bible has a lot to say about the last days, isn't it? Maybe you hadn't seen it before. But he says, in the last days, scoffers will come. Scoffers following their own evil desires. And they will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Scoffers will come. Scoffers who are following their own evil desire. So they are not going to change as the end times approach. They're going to scoff and continue. Now, you see, perhaps you're listening to me today on the web, on the internet, on a podcast. Maybe you're sitting here. And you're thinking to yourself, I've heard this before. This is not news to me. I've been hearing Jesus coming back since I was a little kid. I've been hearing Jesus coming back. This is not news to me. You are just right now fulfilling, and I'm looking into the camera, you're fulfilling biblical prophecy. You're part of the scoffers who said, it's been going on since this. Where's the promise of his coming? You're in the Bible. In the last days, scoffers are going to stand up and say, where? What? What? Nothing's changed? What's going on? Scoffers. You must decide today. Are you going to be part of the scoffers? Or you can be part of the people that are going to make a change in this world in which we are living in right now and do something before Jesus comes back. Now, Jesus' disciples drew him aside, and they asked him some questions about the end times. And we pick this up in Matthew 24, and we'll read from verse 3. And Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and his disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming? And the end of the age. So they asked three questions. very clearly. Number one, when will these things be? So when is this going to happen that you're telling us about? And what will be the sign of your coming? And the third question is, when is the end of the age going to be? All right, when is the end of the age going to be? Now let's continue reading as Jesus answers them. Beginning in verse 4, the same chapter, Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming that I am the Messiah, and they will deceive many." Verse 6, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen." They're not going to be prevented. But the end is still to come. You're going to see these things, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these things are the beginning of birth pains. Now, the New King James tells us that these things are the beginning of sorrows. When he said the end is still to come, you need to understand something. The end is not the rapture. When he said the end is not yet, he said these things are going to happen, but it's not the end. The end of the age that he was talking about is here. Because this is where Satan is bound for 1,000 years and the Antichrist is thrown into the lake of fire. That's what happens here. So for the next 1,000 years on this planet Earth, Jesus will rule. Jesus will reign. So environmentalists have got a little wrong. We're still going to be here because Jesus is going to fix up the mess after this outpouring Holocaust and judgment that's going to happen. He's going to have to fix it up because all the green grass is burnt, the trees are dead, the sea is blood. I mean, there's going to be dead people lying everywhere, you know. In fact, they're going to bury the dead for 7 months over here. So it's going to be a real fix-up, a remodel of the earth. Okay? So these things are going to happen. This is not the end. It's the beginning of sorrows. Ladies, if you've had a baby, and guys, who have you sweated next to her while she went through the pain? You know that the contractions grow in intensity as it gets nearer to the birth. And also what happens is the intervals shorten between each contraction. So it goes more intense, pain gets bigger and more often. Jesus referred to the end times as birth pains, indicating that what will happen will grow in intensity, and what will happen in shorter and shorter intervals. Right? Okay, he said this is going to happen. So, some of the wars that have taken place just in the last 15 years, he said there's going to be wars. Libya, the Islamic militants, Sinai, Syrian war, Sudan, Lebanon, Iraq war, Yemen, Afghanistan, Kurds, and I could go on and on and on. What about rumors of war? What about Rocket Man? That's a rumor. It's a rumor. Okay. You think Iran threatening to destroy Israel? You think these things can be taken seriously? Should be taken seriously? Should be. Okay. Hurricanes increasing. We looked at it last week. Earthquakes. Famine. Starvation. What about disease without cures? We all know Sister Padma from India. We received an email from her this week, and I'm going to read a portion of it to you. "I praise God a million times for you. God has given me encouragement and strength because of your spiritual fellowship. By the grace of God, we are doing good work for the Lord. But at this moment, we need your prayers so much because a lot of people are dying in every city in Tamil Nadu because a mosquito called dengue. There's a plague because of this mosquito, and there is no medication for it. There's no known cure. Even doctors and nurses are afraid." She says, "Only God can stop the plague." And then we only know about that because we've got ministry there. I'm sure it hasn't been broadcast anywhere else, right? But these are people dying, our church people, right there. I prayed this week, and many of you prayed this week, for divine protection for our orphans and the people in ministry and the people that have become Christians. So the big question is, the series is called What Next? What next? Let me give you two words as the answer. You ready? You write it down. The rapture. Is that good? The rapture. Well, Pastor Henry, what is the rapture? I'm glad you asked. First of all, I want to assure you that there is a rapture. You say, Pastor Henry, but the word rapture is not even in the Bible. Yeah, but nor is the word Trinity. How many believe we serve a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? But the word Trinity is not in the Bible. But we can find many scriptures where they all appear, right? When Jesus was baptized in water, came out of the water, the Spirit descended on him like a dove, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son." All three right there. Father spoke, Holy Spirit on him, and yes, Jesus. Trinity. Didn't have to say in the Trinity were present. So what is it? Well, it is a word that theologians have coined up. The word rapture is a word coined to describe being caught up, caught away, or the catching away. So the word rapture means to snatch or to catch away, to pluck or to pull, to take by force. Now, the word the rapture is often confused with the second coming. As I explained to you, the rapture occurs at the end of the church age, the beginning of the tribulation, while the second coming concludes the seven-year tribulation period and ushers in the millennium. We will show you, time permitting, the differences between the two so you can identify them when you read the Bible and not be confused. You read the Bible, which one is it talking about? Okay? Time permitting. So I guess the next question you're going to ask me is, well, what prophecies have still to be fulfilled before the rapture? And I give you one word, none. What do you mean, none? Because none means none. That's what none means. There are no scriptures, no prophecies to be filled before the rapture takes place. So it could happen before the sermon is done. And I'm convinced that people sitting here today listening to me will go in the rapture. Not all of us. Some of us will die before it happens. But others will go in the rapture. And others will hang around to see what the Antichrist looks like. Because they didn't take the first plane out. So, let's begin with Jesus, our Lord and Master, since he is the greatest authority. Correct? Jesus said that he was going to come back and take us. And that should be enough for us. Let's have a look what Jesus said in John 14 and verse 1. He starts, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Everybody sigh and say, "Thank you, Jesus." You got it? Do not let your heart be troubled. Calm. Be at peace. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms or mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says to them, "I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go," did he go? "If I go and prepare a place for you, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, our Savior, Redeemer, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, who's seated at the right hand of the Father, whose eyes are flames of fire, whose feet are like brass, who the sun shines out of his face, he said, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also will be where I am." If that was the only place in the Bible, it would be enough, because I believe Jesus. And he said, if you trust God, he said, trust me. I'm coming to get you to take you to where I am. Jesus did not say, I am coming to be with you where you are, which is going to happen here. He's going to come to stay for the next 1,000 years, to be with those that are here. This is not him coming to be with us. This is him coming to get us to be with him. Amen. You say, well, that's a small difference. Listen, every word in the Bible is a small difference. Life and death, small difference. Just tiny words. Just tiny words. Read them all. Now, the revelation of the catching away of the church, or the rapture of believers, was given in detail to the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at some of the scriptures that the Apostle Paul received and he wrote down for us. We'll begin in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 7. It says, now you have every spiritual gift you need, as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. How are you waiting? Do you know some people that are not eagerly waiting? There's a difference. Some Christians are eagerly waiting and some are not. Are you listening to me? Time permitting, and if you'll come back to church, I will share with you in a few weeks' time who's going to go in the rapture and who's not. Which Christians are going to go and which Christians are not. Well, I thought all Christians are going to go. That's what you get for thinking. You ought to read the book. I will show you word for word exactly who's going and who's not going. That's if you're interested. I mean, you may not be. You might want to go, you know, fishing or lie on the beach. There's a Sunday, after all. There may even be football playing. You could watch that. Just saying. All right, are we back to, let's read. Verse 8. He will keep you strong to the end. God will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be free from all blame on that day, when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. Remember I told you there are twice as many references to his return as there was to his first coming? And you'll see this as we look at Scripture over and over and over and over and over. He's coming back. He's coming back. Jesus is returning. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, out of the Amplified Bible. The fact is that Christ, the Messiah, has been raised from the dead, and he became the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Those means those who've died. He became the first fruits of those who've died, those who've died as Christians. For verse 21, for since it was through a man, talking about Adam, that death came into the world, it is also through a man, Jesus, that the resurrection of the dead has come. For just as in Adam all people die, so also shall all in Christ. Please be careful now. It didn't say all. It specifically said a certain group. And it said, this group is those who are in Christ shall be made alive. But each in his own rank and turn. Christ is the first fruits, then those who are Christ's, again, this group is defined, those who are Christ's own will be resurrected at his coming. That is referring to the rapture. It is not talking about this here. I'll prove it to you just in a moment. Because you see, it clearly said those who are Christ's will be raised from the dead. Correct? Be resurrected from the dead. Which means those that are not Christ's will remain dead, not resurrected. Is that true? If only Christ's are being raised from the dead, then the rest of the dead are remaining dead in the grave. Their body's in the grave. Okay. So then they have to wait for the resurrection of the unrighteous at the great judgment. Okay? This is not the judgment. The rapture is not the judgment. Don't get confused. It's not the judgment. So those who remain dead are waiting for the great white throne judgment. Let's read on. Verse 51. Take notice, I tell you a mystery. Mystery in the Bible. Remember I said that we're going to look at scriptures that are hidden. Prophecies that are hidden. It's a mystery is a secret, is an event decreed by the hidden purpose or counsel of God. He says, we shall not all fall asleep. Talking about death. We shall not all die. In other words, some will be alive at this event. Got it? Some will be alive and some will be dead. He said, but we shall all be changed, transformed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Free your hands up. Free your hands up. Put your hands up in front of yourself. Put your hands in front. I want you to clap as quickly as you can on my count of three. As quickly as you can. One, two, three. Now turn to your neighbor and wink at them. You've been wanting to do that all this time anyway. Turn to the other neighbor and wink at them. All right, no funny business. No funny business. Okay. The Bible says that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump, trumpet call, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, that is, free and immune from decay, imperishable, and we shall be changed, again, transformed, for this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality, freedom from death. Quicker than you can clap your hands. Quicker than you can do that. Quicker than you can wink. Turn to your eye and wink. Quicker than that. The Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye. See, a twinkle of an eye is not a wink. Quicker than a twinkle of an eye. Quicker than you can clap. Quicker than you can wink. Bam! We'll be changed. You do to this side. Bam! All right, everybody's awake here. They got the first one. We're going to be changed. Instantly changed. What's going to happen, okay? What's going to happen is that we're going to hear a voice that sounds like a trumpet. And this voice is going to say, come up here. I really know what the voice is going to say. I've got scripture to prove it. How many want to see that? Not enough. All right, we move on to the next one. All right, it's not in your notes. You're not going to see this, so just listen up. John on the Isle of Patmos. Remember? Great revelation. Remember that? He was caught up to heaven. He saw all those things. We're not going to go through everything he saw. But what I want to read to you is what happened in Revelation 4 and verse 1. And he said, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice that I heard that first spoke to me, the first voice I heard speaking to me sounded like a trumpet. And it said, come up here. Come up here. Sound like a trumpet. It was a voice. And he said, and I will show you what must take place after this. And verse 2 says, at once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was the throne in heaven. How long did it take? Twinkle of an eye. The voice he heard was come up here, and he was standing in front of the throne. Yeah, come on. That's the rapture. That's what it's going to look like. You're not going to be going through space and looking at it, whoo, that's a good view. Hey, Tim, I'm ahead of you, Bubba. Why is Jenny holding your foot? Oh, and there'd be people holding on their church membership on the way up. Thank God it worked. And there'd be people on the earth tearing up their baptism certificates. In the twinkle of an eye, boom, you'll hear this word. It'll sound like a trumpet. Come up here. Don't say, let me think about it. Well, I've just got to draw the last bit of money out of my account. No. You're out of here. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, so those who have died. Christians don't die, they fall asleep. Or to grieve like the rest of the men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So let me explain. How is Jesus bringing people with him? The Bible says when you die, fall asleep in Christ, the Bible says absent from the body, finish it off. Where does your spirit man go the moment your heart stops? Where does your spirit man go? Presence of the Lord. Your body goes to dust, but your spirit goes to be with God. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making this stuff up. It's what the Bible says. Sci-fi people can't make stuff like this up. If you are counted worthy to be part of the bride, your spirit man will return with Jesus when he comes. And when he says, come up here, your body will come up glorified, and your spirit and your body will be joined together again. And so you will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, comfort yourself with these words. Those who are not counted worthy to be part of the bride, their bodies will remain in the grave until the end of the tribulation period, when there will be another resurrection from the dead. Take a breath. Take a breath. You need all the oxygen you can get. Because I know some of you are going, wow, this is like too much for me. But that's why you came to church. It would be so boring if you knew everything, wouldn't it? So let's go back and continue reading. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, according to the Lord's own word. Who said it? Jesus said it. According to Paul, Jesus said this. We tell you that we who are alive, we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Those who are alive in Christ at his return will wait until the dead in Christ are raised. Then we who are alive will follow them. Let me read you the scripture so you understand. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And it's going to come up here. It's going to sound like a trumpet. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them who are coming out the grave, together with them in the clouds, and meet the Lord in the air. Where are we going to meet him?
In the air.
In the air. Going to meet him in the air. Over here, nobody's going up to meet him in the air. He's coming down to the Mount of Olives, which splits because of an earthquake. And he comes to the earth, lands on the earth. Nobody gets up to meet him. It would be ridiculous for everybody to come out, shimmy up, and come straight back down. It's like 4th of July when your firework didn't work. Oh, that was fun, right? All the stuff about the rapture and being caught away and everything. It was a little short ride, man. Come on. What about all the mansions that you made? Oh, nobody can live in them? And anyway, this happens after the marriage feast of the Lamb, and I will show you that in Scripture. I will show you that it happens after the bride is married to Jesus, the groom. Then he says, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Verse 18, therefore encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other with these words. Now, people, listen to me. I know there are a lot of people who teach that there's going to be a mid-tribulation rapture, or there's going to be a rapture at the end and come straight back down. Okay, so if there was going to be the heads cut off and all this persecution happening and mark of the beast and everything else, and I say to you, therefore, comfort each other with these words. Like, are you out of your mind? Or seriously, have you lost your head? I've got to go through this and you tell me I must comfort myself? And I thought I was having problems before. No. He says, comfort yourself with these words. I've just read you the whole word. How we get the dead are going to rise. We're going to catch up. Be in the air. Comfort yourself with this. You can see that I'm a pre-trib rapture person. And all of who agreed said,
amen.
Amen. See that? It's tough to get a crowd to say, who wants to go through the tribulation? Let's go. You go. You go. So it's the name of a car. You go. We'll stay. We're living. We're out of here. Okay. So let's continue reading. Let me find my next page. All right. So let's go to the rapture will happen suddenly. It's going to be a sudden event. Jesus is still talking. Luke 21 and verse 34. He says, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will come on you unexpectedly like a trap. Another version says like a thief. Now, I'm going to give you the amplified version of this. This is the NIV, okay? That's the nearly inspired version. Now, I'm going to give you the amplified version of it, okay? It says, take heed to yourself and be on your guard. Be on your guard. Be alert. Be on your guard. Lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed or weighed down with the giddiness and the headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness and worldly worries, and the cares pertaining to the business of this life, and lest that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. Verse 35, for it will come upon all who live upon the face of the entire earth. Upon who? Everybody upon the face of the earth. There's a warning from Jesus to us who will be living in the last days not to allow the busyness of this world and the cares that we're going through and the issues we're facing to keep you out of church, to keep you from P3 meetings, to keep you from the pre-service prayer, to keep you away from fellowshipping with believers and walking and praying and talking to God on a daily basis. He said, if you get caught up with the busyness of this world at this time, and you are not seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, and you're seeking everything else and you're running around in the rat trap, you will be caught in the rat trap, because it'll happen like a thief in the night when you're not expecting it. And you will be left behind. That's what he's saying. Otherwise, why warn them? Why say it if it doesn't heck matter? We continue reading. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. Now, brothers, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Does a thief in the night give you warning? Dude, I'm coming. Here we are. Lights flashing. Anybody home? Just checking. I'm coming to break in. No. Stealth. In darkness. Suddenly. People are not expecting it, right? He comes. A thief in the night. He's going to come like a thief in the night when you're not expecting it. The day of the Lord will come when they are not expecting it. People, if you look around at what I've been talking about and just look at the world that we're facing, honestly, do you think that people are expecting the return of Jesus or not? Not even Christians. I mean, are you getting what I'm saying? Here the Bible tells us exactly what's going to happen. He said, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains. Oops, there it is again. On a pregnant woman. And they will not escape. Because it's going to hit the whole world. And they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness. You receive the light of Christ. You're receiving revelation even now, today, as we're sitting, as the Holy Spirit is ministering to you. So that that day will not surprise you like a thief. Because you're looking for it. You're not going to be surprised by it. But I can tell you now, millions of Christians are going to be shocked and awe. Never mind the non-Christians. In Matthew 24, verse 37, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. And now he describes the days of Noah. He says, in those days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. It was just going on, right? Just life. Life as usual, right? Marrying, eating, drinking, carrying. I mean, honestly, life as usual. Up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. How more clear does he have to say it? How clear does he have to say it? This is how it's going to be at the coming of the Son of Man. All right, so little revelation here. You like numerology, study of numbers in the Bible? What is the number of man in the Bible?
Six.
Shout it out.
Six.
Six. And we know that even because man was created on the sixth day, we know that. We also know the book of Revelation says that the number of the Antichrist is
six. Six.
Three sixes, and he says that is the number of a man. You say that? So we know the number of man, 666, okay? So we know, this is very important. Now listen tight, listen up real close. Why is that important? Do you know how old Noah was when he went into the ark? 600 years old. And judgment fell. And they didn't expect it. But he preached for 100 years. Righteousness, because he was the righteous dude in his family. He preached, the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. For 100 years, he built the ark. People walked around mocking him, crazy Noah. You know why? Because he said, it's going to rain. Why are you building this ark in the middle of town, Bubba? Have you lost it? See, up until then, it had never rained. I don't know if you know that. It had never rained. There was a cloud cover. And there was water above the clouds. I can show you that if you give me time, but not today. And he said, there's a flood coming. I'm building the ark because there's a flood coming. You need to repent. And then God said, get in the ark, Noah, and start to rain. Now, how many of you know this, that the ark door was left open? And the rain began. How many days was it left open? 7 days, 7 years after the number of men. The number of men, 4,000 years plus 2,000. Six. 7 years of the tribulation, 7 days, God left the ark door open for whoever wanted to be saved could come and be saved. This tribulation period is not so much a judgment of God, but the grace of Almighty God upon those who are not saved yet. Because He'd rather have them saved in those 7 years and miss hell. No matter what the torture and torment happens in those 7 years, the ark door will be open. People will be getting saved in this period by their billions. And I will show you that maybe next week. I want to, next Sunday, I'm going to give you the mother load. This has only been warming up. But I want you to watch, because next week I'm going to talk about the beginning of the tribulation period and how the Antichrist will control the world's population. Lights down. You want to know how he's going to do it? He's going to do it through technology that is already available right now. Watch this video. Please read carefully who this woman is that's going to be speaking. This is who she is. Read it. Regina Dugan, former director of the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, is an agency of the U.S. Department of Defense responsible for the development.
Well, we're thinking of she now a works whole for variety of options for how you could do better at authentication. So you can start with nearer-term things like tokens or fobs that might have NFC or Bluetooth embedded in them, but you can also think about a means of authentication that you could simply wear on your skin every day for a week at a time, say an electronic tattoo. Now, we're talking about wearables. Everybody's interested in wearables. I'm profoundly interested in wearables. And what I will tell you is that there are some, we've made a lot of advances in wearables, but there's still some fundamental problems that we haven't solved. Like one of them is the mechanical mismatch between humans and electronics, right? So electronics are boxy and rigid, humans are curvy and soft. That's a mechanical mismatch problem. Well, a researcher at the University of Illinois, his name is Dr. Rogers, what he discovered is that he could use standard CMOS techniques to make islands of high-performance silicon connected by accordion-like structures that would allow it to stretch up to 200% and still be performing. And what he did is he founded a company, and they started making electronic tattoos. So I'm wearing one here on my arm.
Do we have a camera to get a...
This is a developmental system made by MC10, and it has an antenna and some sensors embedded in it. And what we plan to do is work with them to advance a tattoo that could be used for authentication. Now, it may be true that 10 to 20-year-olds don't want to wear a watch on their wrist, but you can be sure that they'll be far more interested in wearing an electronic tattoo, if only to piss off their parents. Right?
And that can have a design, right? Because
sure.
They would certainly want some kind of cool design.
Options, right? Options. And that's something that you wear, but you could also imagine including authentication in just your daily habits. So I take a vitamin every morning. What if I could take vitamin authentication?
What?
Vitamin authentication. Look, I have one right here. Well, here, I'll let you hold it. Would you like to hold it?
I'll hold it.
Okay. So this...
You guys see it?
This pill has a small chip inside of it with a switch. It also has what amounts to an inside-out potato battery. When
really
you swallow it, the acids in your stomach serve as the electrolyte.
That's what I do.
And they power it up, and the switch goes on and off. And it creates an 18-bit ECG-like signal in your body, and essentially your entire body becomes your authentication token. Yes, this is true. Okay?
Okay, but...
Okay, so wait. So it's really true. So what this means is that that becomes my first superpower. I really want this superpower. It means that my arms are like wires, my hands are like alligator clips. When I touch my phone, my computer, my door, my car, I'm authenticated in. First superpower. Like, I want that.
So we're not shipping that right away.
Yeah, no. We're not shipping that right away. But it sounds
This is FDA cleared?
So here's the thing. This is not science fiction. This pill was actually made by a company called Proteus, and they've developed it for medical applications. That pill has been CE stamped and cleared by the FDA. You can take 30 of those per day for the rest of your life.
And then what happens? Does your heart beat change? Does your...
We can just tell that you've taken the pill. I mean, the medical application...
Yeah.
The medical application.
Does Google now know everything I do and everywhere I go? Because let's face it,
we just,
you guys, but you're from Google.
Just give him some water and let him take that pill right now.
Thanks.
Maybe Dennis. Dennis, let me ask you. Does Larry make you take one of these?
It's optional. So
optional.
So we actually have demoed this working. and authenticating a phone.
Yeah.
What I'll be showing you next week is just like that. It's not something that is sensational. It's not something that is sci-fi prototype still to come, but something that is already in manufacture right now and is being used. Everything I show you next week is already a fact. See, we, for the longest time, we're thinking, well, I know the chip is in the puppies, in the little dogs, and I know that. We are gone so far from the chip and the dog and the puppy. And that is still teaching from 10, 15 years ago. What you'll hear next week is what's happening right here, right now. We will show you video clips, interviews with companies using them, people using them, and what this authentication process means. And I will show you how the Antichrist will use modern technology, AI, nanotechnology, and so on, that's already in place to control every single person on the earth. And how that you will freely give your name to him without being coerced. Every single person left behind will volunteer their name and volunteer to receive his mark without being coerced. Every eye closed.